WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Vanya is about people who are disappointed in life and for the most part don't accept any responsibility for the emptiness of their own lives. And I'm wondering if you both often ask yourselves if you're happy, and if you have any sense of what being sufficiently happy is. You know how sometimes you ask yourself, am I happy? Well, am I happy enough? Should I be more happy? Are other people happier than I am? Do you ask yourselves these questions a lot?
Well,
I'll answer it, but then you have to. To speak of the play first, I'm trying to play Vanya as someone who does not accept his own misery, and even his bitterness is a form of struggle against it. And yes, I myself have. I figure that I've been given every privilege that a person could possibly have been given, and I've had all the luck that a person could possibly have. So, if I'm not enjoying it, it's absolutely pitiful. I mean, there was a time when I felt that I really didn't deserve to be happy, so why should I be? And now I'm more in a mood of thinking that if I'm not happy, who possibly could be? So it's bad luck to say it, maybe, but I got sick of being miserable and very bored with that, and now I feel I somehow accept the idea of enjoying myself more than I did.
Andrew, what about you?
Well, I think Wally just said a very important word, which is the word I accept for me, because, you know, we talk a lot about being happy or sad, when in fact, I think in any given day, if we really paid attention to what was going on in ourselves, we would find that we were exquisitely happy, despairing, insane, from moment to moment, that this changes. But there are these lines in Vanya, when in the last act, Vanya's saying, what am I going to do with my life? Give me some pain, you know, some painkillers. How am I going to get through the next 13 years? And the doctor says, oh, shut up. He says, this that you're living is your life. And, you know, I remember some years back, my wife was quite ill, and somebody said to me, this must be incredibly hard for you. And it was incredibly hard, but at the same time, you know, I said to them that when I was in college, my first year, I did nothing but play poker all the time. And when you play poker, anybody can win with four queens or a full house. The art of living is really playing with a bad hand. If you're not living in a ghetto.
Well, Andre, when you talk about accepting what you've been given, there was a time when you had left the theater, you dropped out of the theater, and you went on this like spiritual search, going to India and the Sahara, looking for some spiritual meaning in life. Would you do something like that at this point in your life, or is all of that behind you?
No, it's not. It's not behind me, because I think I'm still some kind of a seeker, but I've come around to the Wally character's point of view in my dinner with Andre, that you don't have to go to the Himalayas or the top of a mountain to do it. That's, gee, I don't know if you remember those lines.
This is the cigar store part where Wally's right. Arguing you could find all of the world, all of reality,
yes,
just in the neighborhood cigar store.
Absolutely.
You don't have to climb to the top of Mount Everest find what life means.
I think you do it. I think you can do it within yourself, working on yourself, and that you don't have to go, that the journey can be an inner journey. So I still, yes?
I was going to say, Wally, what about you? Do you still uphold your part of the argument about the cigar store?
Well, not really, because the guy who made the cigars or who was growing the tobacco is probably, you can't learn about that guy from being in the cigar store. So I sort of now feel that there are certain facts about the world and how the world works that you need to travel and study about to learn about. I mean, the way the world works as a political entity is not necessarily visible just from your own neighborhood.
Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory. Terry spoke with them in 1994. We'll hear more after the break. This is Fresh Air. We're back with a 1994 interview with Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory. They collaborated on the films My Dinner with Andre and Vanya on 42nd Street.
It strikes me that you've both been in some movies or even TV shows or plays that were so unlike what your own body of work is about. Well, Andre, for you, I'm thinking of like Neil Simon's Broadway comedy Rumours.
How about Demolition Man?
Good example.
Let's trace the similarities.
And I mean, Wally, you've been on TV shows like Murphy Brown, Deep Space Nine, Heaven Help Us. I'm just picking out things that seem really out of character to you. So I'm wondering, when you're in like a TV show or a Broadway comedy or a mainstream movie that's really like outside of your sensibility, do you try to like fit in and have fun with it, or do you feel like an alien during it?
I love it. You know, being on a movie set with a trailer and all these interesting people to meet and all of that food and a completely different way of life. I mean, that's more exciting for me than going to Provence for a holiday. It's partly a holiday. I love it. It's very different. Also, it's the only way, it seems, I can make money. In these last few years, I've had to, you know, find a way to keep Vanya going. I love being in a place that I'm really uncomfortable, you know.
No, why would you love that?
I don't know. I shouldn't say I love it. It scares the hell out of me. It does scare the hell out of me. But for some reason, I have to keep being in the unknown. I don't like it. And for me to be in a Neil Simon comedy on Broadway is stranger for me than wandering around the desert with a Japanese monk on a camel. That's stranger. My father, who hated the fact that I was in the theater, you know, because it just didn't seem like work. And I remember on something like his 80th birthday, I'd never asked him. He just didn't get me, that part of me. I'd never asked him about his grandfather. And for some reason, I said, "Who was your grandfather?" And he lit up into this big smile. He said, "Oh, Chaim. Chaim, what a beautiful man Chaim was." And I said, "What did he do?" And my father said with great pride, "He did nothing. He was a learner." And which was a very distinguished thing to do back then. So on some level, I'm a learner. I love to learn. And you do learn generally, mostly, when you're in an uncomfortable situation. So I've liked it.
Well, is it uncomfortable for you when you're in something that's very mainstream and outside your sensibility?
Well, during the time that I'm doing the thing, it is often a wonderful relief for me, because I don't always enjoy carrying my own sensibility around with me all the time. Sometimes it's not that much fun. And it's a wonderful thing for me to be able to drop it. And it is disturbing. Because there is this idea that you should be one person. And obviously, if, for instance, if others know you in a way that is wildly different from the way that you think that you know yourself, it does present a problem in regard to your identity. I mean, people come up to me on the street and tell me who I am, and I'm learning something from that. They literally say, "You're the guy from The Princess Bride. You're the guy who says inconceivable in The Princess Bride." And that's information. I'm asking the question, who am I? And someone comes up to me on the street and tells me who I am. But the information is not anything that I would have guessed myself when I was asking who am I to myself. So that can become very complicated.
Because of the film My Dinner with Andre, is there always a lot of pressure on you in public to have meaningful conversations with everybody you run into?
Well, you probably get the feeling from this program, because here we are on radio and our task is to speak. But I think in my own life now, I speak much less after my dinner with Andre. I used to have to be the center of attention all the time. I was always telling everybody stories, and I never shut my mouth. And now if I start doing that, except on a program like this where you'd like me to speak, I start feeling that I'm a character in a movie called My Dinner with Andre and not me, so I just keep my mouth shut.
Wally, what about you?
I don't feel this pressure that, though people don't expect meaningful conversation from me, and they don't get any.
Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory. My Dinner with Andre travels to Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Minneapolis as part of the Classically Independent Film Festival. Here's another scene from the movie.
If you were a director working on a play by Chekhov, you might have the actors playing the mother, the son, and the uncle all sit around in a room and do a made-up scene that isn't in the play. For instance, you might say to them, "All right, let's say that it's a rainy Sunday afternoon on Soren's estate, and you're all trapped in the drawing room together," and then everyone would improvise, saying and doing what their character might say and do in that circumstance. Except that in this type of improvisation, the kind we did in Poland, the theme is oneself. So you follow the same law of improvisation, which is that you do whatever your impulse as the character tells you to do, but in this case, you're the character. So there's no imaginary situation to hide behind, and there's no other person to hide behind. What you're doing, in fact, is you're asking those same questions that Stanislavski said the actor should constantly ask himself as a character. Who am I? Why am I here? Where do I come from? And where am I going? But instead of applying them to a role, you apply them to yourself.
Wally Shawn is appearing in the films My Favorite Martian and The Hurdy-Gurdy Man. His voice can be heard in the upcoming animated feature Toy Story 2. Andre Gregory is in the new film Goodbye Lover. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air.